Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is December 15th, and I'm your host, Rena Scherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. The week ahead sees a flood of economic reports that could dictate the direction of the market. Housing starts, the Philly Fed Manufacturing Index, and an update on home sales all pour in before the big Q3 GDP print on December 20th. And the big trade news? Several research firms are on record saying the calming rhetoric sets up the tech sector for more gains. With the impending $160 billion torpedo now dodged by tech stocks, we believe there is room to go higher. We continue to believe 5-7% rally into year-end for tech from current levels heading into year-end given the negative fundamental ramifications that were previously baked in to the group, writes Wedbush's Dan Ives. The China tariff demand situation is seen as about a $20 overhang on Apple shares and a dark cloud over the broad tech space. The calendar suggests another week of holiday shopping is in store. Keep an eye on some consumer-facing companies facing pressure, like Peloton, iRobot, and GoPro. In earnings news, FedEx, Navistar, and Steelcase report on December 17th. Micron and General Mills report on the 18th. Nike, Carnival, ConAgra, Rite Aid, and Darden Restaurants on the 19th. Winnebago, BlackBerry, and CarMax report on the 20th. Look for Seeking Alpha's earnings calendar for a complete list of earnings reporters. In stock-specific earnings news, expectations are that Nike steps into the earnings confessional to report revenue growth in North America of 5.9% for FQ1 and revenue growth of 22% ex-FX in China. Of note, there have been some buy-side whispers of a gross margin beat heading into the report, while the cooling of the U.S.-China trade war could free up Nike management to set a more positive tone. Nike shares trade at a 4% discount to their historic forward earnings multiple. In M&A news, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles and PSA Group are expected to ink a formal agreement next week to combine into the world's fourth largest automaker. Shareholders vote on the Alexion Pharmaceuticals-Acquilion Pharmaceuticals merger and Sisseon buyout by Platinum on December 11th. Robinhood is expected to roll out on a limited basis a feature that allows customers to buy and sell fractional shares. The development could add pressure on Charles Schwab, E-Trade, and Interactive Brokers to match the initiative next year. Robinhood also plans to introduce dividend reinvestment plans and recurring investments. Chinese President Xi Jinping is set to visit Macau next week to announce a raft of new policies aimed at diversifying the city's casino-dependent economy into a financial center. Those include the establishment of a yuan-denominated stock exchange and the acceleration of a renminbi settlement center. Xi's trip to mark the 20th anniversary of Macau's return to China comes as the central government has praised the city for upholding the One Country, Two Systems framework that governs both Hong Kong and Macau. Casino stocks that could see some volatility include Wynn Macau, Wynn Resorts, Sands China, Las Vegas Sands, MGM China, MGM Resorts, Galaxy Entertainment, SJM Holdings, Melco Resorts and Entertainment, and Studio City International. FDA panels are set to discuss AstraZeneca Merck's Lynparza as a maintenance treatment in pancreatic cancer and Merck's Keytruda in some bladder cancers. The last business day before Bausch Health's acne therapy IDP-123 arrives at the end of the week. The Investor Summit Conference on December 17th in Philadelphia is dedicated to connecting small-cap and micro-cap companies with investors. Participants this year include NanoVibronics, Acres Biosciences, Inuvo, Chemet, SharpSpring, and Smith Micro Software. Boeing plans to launch the Starliner spacecraft on an uncrewed mission to the International Space Station on December 20th at the very earliest. In box office news, Sony expects Jumanji The Next Level to bring in $35 million during its opening weekend, while some forecasts from Hollywood range as high as $45 million. At the end of the week, Disney's Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker will make its initial appearance at theaters as the House of Mouse shoots for another plus $1 billion tally from the 42-year-old franchise. And this week in Barron's mentions, the stocks and themes drawing attention in Barron's Weekly Edition. The week's issue covers what to look for in 2020 and what stocks could provide value. Alphabet, Americo, Anthem, Berkshire Hathaway, Comcast Technologies, Pfizer, Royal Dutch Shell, United Technologies, and Viacom CBS all make the list. There's also a reminder that Disney's parks business makes the stock attractive all by itself. Operating income for parks, experiences, and products rose 11% to over $6.7 billion last fiscal year amid higher guest spending. We end this week's Stocks to Watch with our single stock focus. This week, and leading up to 2020, we're covering Seeking Alpha author's picks for 2020. This week, we cover Josh Arnold's pick, BJ's Wholesale. Arnold thinks shares are cheap and that the revamped BJ's has strong operating metrics and lots of room for growth. BJ's shares closed Friday at a bit under $24. Arnold starts here. Wholesale Club BJ's has had a bumpy road since coming public again in the summer of 2018. Shares ran higher on the initial offering, but have languished since then amid a broad market rally to new highs. I think investors are being a bit too pessimistic on BJ's and punishing the stock for sins of the past. As such, I see an attractive combination of value and growth potential and think it is a buy. Arnold then discusses BJ's competition. BJ's is a much smaller alternative to the other large warehouse clubs, Sam's and Costco. BJ's produces just over $13 billion in annual revenue and has 5.5 million members, a fraction of what Costco boasts. In addition, BJ's is present only on the East Coast for the most part, whereas Sam's and Costco are essentially everywhere in the U.S. However, what BJ's lacks in size and scale, it makes up for with a strong value proposition for the consumer, growing membership renewal rates, and expanding margins. BJ's knows that its growth was broken prior to the IPO. However, management has been working to fix what was broken, and progress is certainly being made on a variety of fronts. Comparable sales growth has been positive for 5 consecutive quarters. And not only that, but the rate at which comparable sales are improving has been rising. In fiscal 2015, BJ's sported a ho-hum renewal rate of 84%. Today, however, that is 87% and growing. BJ's is focusing on providing around a 10 times annual return on the membership rate in terms of savings to the average customer, a strong value proposition that should continue to fuel strong renewal rates more in line with Costco, which is the gold standard of the industry at about 90%. One of the ways BJ's is driving differentiation from the other warehouse clubs is through its fresh assortment. This model is a sort of hybrid between the traditional grocery store, which offers huge selection in whatever quantities one sees fit, and the warehouse club, which offers value and bulk purchasing. Not only does this differentiate BJ's, but it provides additional value to the consumer and, very importantly, drives more trips to the store. Arnold then covers gross margins. Finally, BJ's has been hard at work on its margins, which were subpar for some time. BJ's profitability wasn't what it should have been for the past several years, but the initiatives discussed above have helped to turn the ship around. Gross margins have moved from 16% of revenue to over 18% in the past 4 years, while SG&A costs have risen much more slowly. That is nearly double the company's EBIT margin from 1.5% of revenue to 2.8%. That's razor thin, but keep in mind, the warehouse model relies upon membership income to drive profits, and this is largely in line with its competitors. Risks to Arnold's thesis. One risk to the company is its debt load, which is sizable despite having been paid down significantly in the past couple of years. BJ's was heavily laden with debt obligations when it was still private, but the IPO helped repay some debt. The company is also continuing to pay down its debt via any means necessary in order to improve interest coverage and reduce its once significant leverage. At about $1.4 billion, BJ's debt isn't enough to warrant concern, particularly if paying it down continues. Debt is a common mention from investors with BJ's, but I think the fact that it has been nearly cut in half in the past 18 months is a significant positive, and I'm not overly concerned about its leverage at this point. Arnold concludes with this. While I recognize that BJ's isn't as efficient or large as Costco, the differences in what matters, profit growth, are small. I simply cannot understand the differences in valuations, and the only logical conclusion I can draw from the body of evidence is that BJ's is very cheap and that the stock is a buy. Overall, Seeking Alpha contributors skew very bullish on BJ shares, with one very bullish and one bullish. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Alpha Trader, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great week.